Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. And of course, as you know, it's one of my favorite times of the week. And as you might know also, I have brought along one of my favorite people.
Who have you got in mind, Carolyn?
I was just going to ring a bell and wake up my favorite people.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard. I think I'm awake. But no promises.
So. I hope so. We need you, dear one. And so, my friends, if you have listened to our show and you know how things operate here, you know that we bring along a special person who might give us some insight, some special information. And tonight, we have what we believe is a very special person, Abraham Lincoln, the 16th President of the United States. And Richard, if people are not getting our emails and are not aware of these things, how can they get our emails?
They can go to our website called the2012countdown.com and they can enter their names and their email address and then respond to the email they receive with a link in it to register, and that's it.
That's marvelous. Perfection, actually. And so have you connected with the 16th President of the United States?
I have, as a matter of fact.
That's
and
good.
To describe his energy to you, firstly, I experience his energy quite centrally, and yet, and so anything which is central like this carries love and carries integrity because of its nature. But the overriding experience is one perhaps of wisdom. I can't say I'm a great master of American history, but I do know that this man was well fated, and I suspect that that was well founded. I'm struck by, I guess, the integrity that I experience, which is quite a statement for a politician. But there is this sense of wisdom and integrity that I experience with his energy. It's very interesting, quite powerful.
Yes, it is. That's beautiful. And so does our friend have a special message for us today?
Let's see what he has to say. I am honored to join you on this extraordinary radio show. I say extraordinary because it truly is a unique mechanism, in my opinion, to enable beings such as me who have left your dimension, in my case quite some time ago now, to be able to come forth and communicate with those who are interested in listening. And of course, most people, perhaps certainly a great many people, will doubt the veracity of what is occurring here, but I simply wish to take a moment to reinforce the fact that it is indeed Abraham Lincoln, or should I more accurately say the soul that came forth to express as Abraham Lincoln, that is communicating with you at this time. And as I say, most people would doubt this fact because the consciousness in which you live and the way that that consciousness has been manipulated to, you might consider, minimize what it means to be a human being is so great and so all-encompassing. It is very rare for an individual to open up their skills and abilities to communicate beyond that dimension as Richard is doing now. And as most of you know, Carolyn can do this also in many ways, perhaps with more ability because she can see into the other dimensions also. So I am honored to come forth in this manner. And truly, what Richard is doing here is something that every human being could do if they firstly believed in the possibility, believed in the fact that souls continue to exist beyond the moment of death, and also trusted their ability to do this. And so, given most of these factors have been eroded for the most part in your world, and in essence, the typical human being has no idea of who and what they truly are and what they represent, then these skills lie dormant for most people, locked inside very limited beliefs in most cases. So, in a way, it is a sad fact, but on the other hand, it is a skill that will be awakened for anyone who chooses it once the changes that are pending come forth in your world. So I wanted to take a moment to provide that perspective for you and to say that I take it to be an honor to be asked to come forth in this manner and to share my thoughts and views about your world and how it in ways fitted very closely to my own. As you know, I was the President of the United States, elected in 1860 and then again in 1864. Although my term was brief in the second instance because of my fairly imminent demise, you might say, in April of 1865, some 150 years ago now and almost a month. But in many ways, what is happening in your world has very close connections to what was happening in my own. And that which I refer to is the hidden hand, you might consider, that is behind things in your world that was very much alive and well and active, and whilst it was still grasping for control, it certainly had very clear views about how this would unfold. And it was as uncompromising then as it is now in your world. And I refer to those elements that today you would call Zionists, though in my time the term was not so strongly used. I would refer in my time to the influence of the European international Jewish bankers. And you see, I am very aware of them because they were the ones who were ultimately responsible for my death. And there are records in history which confirm what I'm saying to you if you search them out. You see, they had already made several attempts to wrest control of the financial system of the United States. Indeed, there are ways in which it was already under their control, but I do not wish to enter into that overly much because the primary focus in my time was their attempts to set up a private central bank, as you now have in the United States and indeed in most countries of the world, though it is fairly well hidden in most countries. And indeed, history records the war between the North and the South as being about slavery, but in truth it was not. I refused to bow down to the globalist bankers, and indeed it was these bankers that triggered the Civil War in the United States. They funded the South, and they wanted to cause a great deal of damage to America and cause the country to come on its knees to them. And so they, in fact, were the driving force behind the emergence of the Civil War. And, of course, this is not recorded in history, just as their role in World Wars I and II is not recorded in history either. You see, they have been and continue to be the ultimate victors. And people say the victors get to write history, and that is true, but people misunderstand what this actually means, because as the true victors, they simply write themselves out of history completely. They are not seen in the history that you are taught. There is a story that is told, and it is reinforced over and over and over again in so many ways, in what is taught in schools, in what comes forth in movies and so on, that reinforces the preferred stories. It's really propaganda, you might say. And so they were behind the Civil War, in truth, but of course it has not been presented that way. And there were proposals to me to lend money at what really was quite rapacious interest rates at that time to fund the North, you might say, and I refused their what you might consider overtures. And as history records, I chose to issue my own money to fund the war, or more accurately, money of the United States. This, of course, was completely unacceptable to these people. And as events unfolded and the North was victorious, so it was, they needed to take action to prevent me from continuing with my efforts to propagate a, you might consider, legal system of issuing money in the United States. And so they were responsible for my assassination. Again, if you look carefully, you will find the evidence for this, but it is, like most of these things, quite well hidden. And the reason I take the time to tell you this story is because the parallels between what was occurring in my time and what is occurring in your time, and indeed what really has occurred in the United States from my time all the way through to yours, is the role of these globalist bankers. Make no mistake, they are ruthless, they are evil, and their intention is to virtually destroy the world as you know it for their own dark purposes. It is a very sad state of affairs, but they were hell-bent on this in my time, and even in my time, they would not allow anyone to truly oppose their will, hence my demise. And the same occurred with JFK, in truth. What people don't understand is that the United States was well and truly controlled by the time of JFK's election in 1960. And there were many American presidents that had been elected by these forces between my time and the time of JFK. Indeed, JFK was effectively funded into office by these same forces, but he, you might say, made the error of believing that he could act in the interests of the American people rather than in the interests of those who had put him into office. And so his demise was quite predictable. It was only a matter of what interests would get involved with ensuring the man's demise. And if you examine American history, you can find many examples of American presidents being funded into office by these satanic people. Indeed, history is very clear from Woodrow Wilson forward about how these individuals were controlled and funded by these Jewish international forces. Now, you might think I'm being racist in these comments, but really I'm not. I'm rather focused on a relatively small group of Jewish individuals who have painted a picture that the rest of the Jewish people, for the most part, buy into, consider these people to be their saviors, buy the stories about the abuse that has occurred at the hands of non-Jews, you might consider, when really it is a very, very distorted picture that has been painted by these individuals who will do absolutely anything that is necessary for them to get where they wish to go. So I tell you this story because, as I say, those forces were very much alive and well in my time, and they have far more power and control in yours than they had in mine. You might consider they were really getting started in my time. Of course, they had been operating for some time before my time, but nevertheless, they were still gathering their power. And really, for all intents and purposes, they had control of the world by the end of the 19th century. And yes, there were a few things still to implement in the early 20th century, such as the establishment of the American Federal Reserve in 1913 when this was completed. But in truth, they effectively had control of America well before that time. And truly, if you want to understand your world, it is important that you understand this. And I am not being anti-Jewish in my words. I am simply very much keen to do my part to expose the forces that truly control your world. Because even though it is about to change, because of the work that many that are listening to this recording live or subsequently are here to assist with and participate in, it is also part of the unfolding of things that humanity needs to understand these influences, these forces, because they represent such a dark agenda for humanity and, in a sense, for humanity to be liberated from it, they need to understand what they are inside of. And these forces continue to roll out with all of their complex games, the stories of terrorism, the demonizing of Muslims is all part of this agenda. Any of you who know someone who is a Muslim almost certainly will know someone who is very gentle and caring and not someone who is likely to turn to terrorism. But yet there is this picture that has been painted in the West, and also a lot of Muslims have been moved into Western countries in the last 30 or 40 years to foster this conflict, to seemingly fuel this fodder for terrorism, this monstrosity that has been created primarily from the false flag events of 9/11 and the propaganda that was sold off the back of those events, which had nothing to do with the truth of what occurred. So I have talked enough about this. I want you to understand that these forces were very much driving the world that I was operating in, and it was hidden in large measure from the public. The public did not understand that these forces were fueling the South. They were funding the South. They were inciting this conflict over slavery, as it seemed. And yet, if you take the time to read my inauguration speech from 1860, you will know that I did not oppose my brothers from having slaves in the South, if that was their choice. It was not something that I endorsed, personally, but I honored their right for the states to make those choices. But that is not the story that is told in your history. So understand these things. Understand the drivers. And those same drivers are at work fostering conflict, fostering this emergence of terrorism, driving this complete destruction of privacy so that the activities of every individual on the planet, at least in the organized world, are fully tracked and monitored and profiled so that gradually anyone who has any elements that suggest they might in any manner oppose this planned, you might consider, one world domination. Anyone opposed to this will be quietly weeded out, imprisoned, and in many cases executed. I am being very blunt here, but this is the kind of planning that they have in place. And it's so, so important that more and more people awaken to this agenda. I mention it only for understanding, because I'm also well aware, as I said earlier, that there are advanced plans to change this, to bring forth a new consciousness which will liberate those of humanity that want to move on, want to move forward and step out of this very dark and difficult time. And it will unfold, and it will unfold very soon. It is indeed a very special time in which you are present upon the planet. In one sense, it is a very difficult time for the moment, and it will continue to get difficult as these individuals tighten their noose as they move towards what they see to be their ultimate victory. They can see it in their grasp now. They feel they are so close to it. And if you understand prophecy, it was long said that these individuals would be at that point where they believed they would be victorious, only to see their victory snatched from them. And this is the nature of what is unfolding in your time. It is what you are part of. And so I honor all of you that are contributing in any manner to this change, because many of you on this call are indeed doing so. So I honor all of you. I understand how this is unfolding, and I have come to understand the history of this unfolding over the last 2,000 or so years in particular. But indeed, I understand that this was long planned, long, long planned, even indeed in some manners before the creation of this cosmos. That might sound a little hard for you to understand or seemingly impossible, but my friends, that is the truth of the matter. This issue, that is, you might consider unfolding in this microcosm of planet Earth, is a reflection of something much broader, much bigger, that has been unfolding for what you might consider to be eons of time. So I leave you with these thoughts, and if you have questions about these broader issues I have raised or my lifetime, please don't hesitate to ask.
Thank you both. That was an extremely interesting message, and I would suspect that people were surprised to hear such information coming from you, because it certainly does address the moment that we live in with great understanding. And so I invite my listeners to call in your questions to this most magnificently forthright individual. Richard, I sense that you have a question, do you?
Not at the moment, Carolyn. I'm just sitting a little after bringing that message forth.
Yes, it was a long message, very deep. Since no one has called in yet with their questions, I would like to ask a question. And the question that I have is, when Does Mr. Lincoln see things changing in this dimension? See the light coming through and some of this surveillance, for instance, be broken so that we do not have to live under that yoke?
Firstly, it is not that this surveillance you might consider will be broken, but rather, as has been explained by others, those of humanity that choose to move forward with these changes will, in a sense, step out of this existing consciousness. So these control systems and so on will remain. More people will become aware of them, of course, but they will remain. It is not as if they will be deconstructed. And those who wish to control the world will be left with all of their tools, with all of their destructive weapons, with all of their tricky technology to control humanity. It's just that those who wish to move forward will simply step out of this complex web that has been woven on so many levels in so many different ways. They will step into this new consciousness that has already come forth and has connected to your current dimension. It is, you might say, sitting there quietly in the background, awaiting for these events to unfold. And so, to address the other element of your question, which is a matter of timing, I would say to you that you should expect the first elements of these changes to begin to emerge certainly this year, and in my opinion, over the next month or two at the outside. It will take time for this to develop momentum in a manner that the public in general becomes aware of it and aware of the choices that they have. So this whole process will take several years to pass through, but the beginnings certainly will begin to unfold in quite the short term.
Thank you. We have come so close to war. There have been so many incidents where there has been conflict. Do you see any war between nations in the near future?
The world as it currently is continuously at war. There is the bombing of Yemen currently. There is the actions of so-called ISIL or ISIS in the Middle East, which anyone who is well aware will understand that it is a creation on the surface by the Americans, but ultimately by the same Zionist forces that I speak of. And so, on the one hand, they are creating these groups, on the other, they are fighting them. So there are those conflicts. There is the conflict in the Ukraine, and do not think that everything has come to an end, because there are still people being quietly slaughtered in that country. It is a sad state of affairs, but that is still continuing. So the world is at war in many ways. It is in so many ways currently a war on the consciousness of your world. There is this rolling police state that is becoming more and more entrenched in the name of terrorism as a result of various false flag events which are being triggered to scare the public and justify more draconian legislation to reduce freedoms and to increase monitoring and tracking of the public. And in many ways, these actions are acts of war. Make no mistake about them. It's just that the war is now directed towards the public rather than to some foreign enemy. So I would consider war to be quite widespread in your world, even though it is in large measure not threatening the actual physical existence of the average Western person, is how I would describe it.
Thank you. Do you think that these people, or these souls, had their origins in Atlantis? Were they the dark priests of Atlantis?
I would not say that they had their origins there, Carolyn, though certainly the key ones came forth from the same sources, you might say, as those dark priests. So in that sense, your wording is accurate, but that's not really their origin. Their origin is beyond this dimension, beyond this earth, of course. Those who are expressing as souls in this time to drive these efforts and expressed as those dark priests in Atlantis are expressions of what you might consider dark monads that were created for this purpose, for these roles. So yes, they are very much connected. There is many similarities between what is unfolding in your world today and what was unfolding in Atlantis before the fall. Carolyn, I am aware that you are familiar with those creations called the Things, which had in large measure animal parts connected to a semi-human form and carried a soul, which was an extraordinarily difficult experience for those individuals, but they were essentially a slave race, you might consider, for the use of these dark priests. And in many ways, the work that is being done with genetic engineering today is really not very different. And the same forces that are driving this are the very same forces that drove it in Atlantis. So there are many parallels between what unfolded then and what is unfolding now. And just as their power was ripped from them with the fall in Atlantis, so it will be ripped from them again in this time, but in a very different way. And some of them understand this, and they know that their support structures, you might consider, from beyond this dimension, beyond this earth experience, have been eliminated. They know this, and some of them are in fear, but they are so driven to implement what they have taken their existence to be about that it's almost as if they could not stop themselves if they wanted to. And all of that is perfectly in order, even though it seems so negative. In so many ways, this whole human journey has been an entrapment process for the dark, and so they are living out the last expressions, the last vestiges of this entrapment.
Thank you very much. I would like to turn our attention towards the internet. And are those freedoms of the internet going to be taken away from people, or do you think we'll be able to continue using the internet as we are?
The internet has proven to be such a powerful tool in so many different ways. And its explosive growth was beyond anyone's expectation, and I mean anyone's expectation. As you may know, the initial elements of the internet came out of the American military and grew from there to be the global systems that you see today. But it's really not that long ago where that emergence began. It began quite literally in the mid-90s, and so it's a 20-year phenomenon. Now, on the one hand, people feel a lot of freedom, a lot of opportunity to gather information, to share information, and so on. And whilst that is true, it also provides an extraordinary dragnet for those who want to gather information about people and their behaviours. Most people's communication today occurs electronically, and almost inevitably via the internet. And those who are interested are aware of what the NSA and their partners have done globally, but it's not just what the NSA is doing. There are other groups and forces at work that are monitoring and manipulating and tracking data, not only about Americans, but globally. And so it has been a, you might consider, a tool set that has served both sides of the equation. And certainly there has been a lot more exposure of the DARC's activity through the internet. But also, as I say, it has been used by those on the other side to gather information about people. It is the truth of the matter that they could shut the internet down, as you know it, very quickly if they choose. But they have rather more taken the approach that they would rather act to discredit those who share the truth, you might consider, via the internet to the best of their ability. And in large measure, they are being successful in these efforts. So they feel they have it under control. In my opinion, they are underestimating the influence of those who drive an agenda for truth and for liberation in the world using the internet. So it is my opinion that it will not get shut down, because those who are wanting to track people gain a lot of benefit from it, and they do not wish to shut that benefit down.
Thank you. I would like to address some remarks toward the money supply and what their plans are as far as money is concerned.
As you may understand, the subject of money supply has been completely under their control from the late 19th century. Indeed, they had large control over it well before that time, but it was essentially complete by that time. And so what you have experienced as times of boom and bust are all manufactured by these forces. The depression, the Great Depression of the 1930s, was completely engineered by these people. They simply removed cash out of the system as far as, for example, America was concerned. And so businesses did not have the funds to manufacture, to produce products. People did not have the money to buy goods and services and so on. People could not buy the food to feed their families in many cases. And of course, it depressed asset values extraordinarily, which meant those who essentially run your world could buy up all of the assets that were of interest to them for, you might consider, cents in the dollar. So this event was engineered, just as the global financial crisis of 2007 and 2008 was engineered by these forces. None of this was any kind of accident. And indeed, the fact that pretty much every country in the world is in debt to the bankers is no accident either. So they simply control the game for their own ends and have been doing so for quite a long time. And anyone who truly opposes them is demolished. Indeed, if you examine very closely, you will see that these same forces were responsible for the dropping of the atomic bombs on Japan, and it was a payback for the Japanese not lining up with the wishes of these Zionist bankers at the time of the ending of the Russian-Japanese war. They let them feel their might. Similarly, the Germans paid the price with the Morgenthau Plan after the end of the Second World War, where literally millions of Germans starved to death under their hand. So you need to understand the cruel nature of these people. Of course, they were responsible for so many millions of people dying in Russia and the gulags, because those whole processes were driven by Zionist interests. The whole Bolshevik Revolution was a Zionist revolution, if you examined the details properly. So these are cruel and heartless people. And it is not at all clear to me exactly how they will unfold this financial game, but be absolutely clear that they control it absolutely and on a global basis, and they pull a string here or a string there to manipulate the game to move it where they want it to go. And if you think communist China is not under their control and direction, think again there also. They funded Mao Zedong into power. Make no mistake about this.
It seems to me that the jobs that were here in the United States are being quickly taken from this country and moved to other countries. I suspect that this is the same group that is behind this. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. It is the same processes at work. They do not wish to have any country with great affluence and great power. And so the power has been drained. The manufacturing power has been drained from America, and the production facilities have been moved to low-cost countries, originally Japan after the Second World War, and now China and other parts of Asia is where these things are done, as well as some areas of South America where, again, wages are low and people live a very poor standard of living. And so it is not that jobs are being moved out of America. They already have been moved out of America. And there are a handful of companies who have the wherewithal to apply technology to bring jobs back into this country, but that is very limited and very focused on primarily high technology areas. So in the current consciousness, do not expect the job opportunities for Americans to improve. It simply will not. Indeed, it will continue to decline. So much damage was done to the standard of living of Americans in the 2008 crisis. Make no mistake about the damage that was caused.
Thank you. What advice might you give to people to help them survive this financial setback for the country?
It may sound strange to you when I say this, but even though the situation in many ways has become quite dire, in truth, for an individual with the right mindset and the right attitude and the right will and the willingness to heal themselves and to visualize how they want their life to be, can overcome the circumstances. It has always been thus in every expression of life experience. And so I would encourage anyone who wishes to improve their lot to consider these things. In the American situation, it may mean that you have to move geographically to another location for an opportunity that is of interest to you. And you were talking about the internet. There are so many opportunities that the internet makes possible for someone to run a small business selling globally if they choose. So an internet entrepreneur can get started for very little money and build either a small business that supports them and their family, or a large business that might generate millions of dollars for the individual if they create some technology that's of interest to a larger organization. So in this very dark circumstance for those individuals who wish to seek it out. The opportunities are always there.
Thank you. I'd like to move our attention towards the quality of the air, soil. We have this catastrophe at Fukushima. Am I pronouncing this right? Fukushima?
Yes, Fukushima. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what might be your thoughts there? How can we correct this damage to the ecology of the world?
It is a sad and difficult question that you ask, because in my opinion, the ecology of the world as you know it will not readily recover from what is being done to it in this current consciousness. The damage that is being done as a result of Fukushima is way, way worse than most people have even begun to understand. That pollution has spread quite significantly within the Pacific at this time and has reached the North American coast in Canada and the US and is impacting radiation levels quite significantly in the United States today. So make no mistake, this is a massive, massive event in terms of impacting the ecology of the planet. It has killed off many, many expressions of life within the oceans, and it will continue to do this, and it will grow as far as humanity itself is concerned as this unfolds. Make no mistake about it. And there is some hope within the technologies that are coming forth from that man that you know called Mehran Kesh, who is an Iranian nuclear physicist who has solutions to the pollution problems of Fukushima. But the scale of this damage is so great that it is hard to imagine its application in a useful manner to deal with this. And my answer to this really comes back to my earlier answer about how humanity will move beyond this. Those that choose will essentially step out of the existing consciousness and move to a higher dimension with time and leave this broken and distorted planet behind, or this expression of it. It is a sad state of affairs that this wondrous creation that you exist upon, that has been so carefully nurtured and created, so many expressions of plants and animals and insects and so on interacting in this exquisite way that most people simply do not appreciate. It is being destroyed by these self-directed interests. Such a sad state of affairs. But the story of Fukushima is a very sad one indeed.
Thank you. Gaia must be having an extremely difficult time with so many attacks upon the Earth. How is there some way that human beings can help Gaia at this time?
It is an interesting question that you ask. And yes, in a sense, Gaia feels the pain of all of this. But ultimately, Gaia's vision is much broader than the current interference and damage with the planet. Gaia is a consciousness that has overseen this planet from its very beginning and indeed oversees its other dimensional expressions. And so, on the one hand, she experiences sadness about the damage which is being done, but also she understands the changes which are coming forth and oversees that pristine expression of the planet at the higher dimensional form. So Gaia herself is at peace, you might say, with the unfolding of events because she understood the plan from the very beginning.
Thank you. So many things that we have spoken about are dire circumstances. And I'd like to look at the family unit for a moment. With so many problems in the world, It is very difficult for parents to protect their children and to protect the family unit. Is there anything positive that we can say about this?
Again, these same forces that are conducting the attacks that I have spoken of are also, you might consider, hell-bent on breaking up the what you call family unit. Indeed, if one winds the clock back somewhat, really the normal human environment was one of community, not the so-called nuclear family, as the term was coined a few decades ago in your world. There was a move made from essentially the community raising of children to individual families, which really is a very broken way to go about things, because the wisdom is really amongst the old, and those more elderly people have been discredited in your world in large measure. And the parents are in their prime of life where they are physically active and can generate income or work the land or whatever it is that they choose. And the usual historical model is for the more elderly to pass on their wisdom to the children. And so the nuclear family itself is a twisted model that has been introduced along the way. But now that model is being broken down as the mother is more and more required to work. Indeed, she expects to work. This broken situation where mothers take maternity leave for up to 3 months and then go back to work and put their child into childcare, essentially putting the education of their child in the hands of the state. This is exactly what these people want, because they want to break down the family values. They want to break down the community values and sow their ideas, their beliefs, their practices, their disempowerment processes to the children. Moreover, the state, in fact, owns the children, and this is not well understood by the average family, the average mother and father today, but that is the truth of the matter. You might consider that the children are really only on loan to the parents, the way things are currently structured, and most people have no idea about this. Again, I share this with you because unless these things are understood, humanity will not realize what they need to leave behind. It is so comprehensive. And so the challenge really is for parents to understand the importance of contributing their values to their children, and also working to understand what the truth of being a human being is, which has become so lost. And if the parents have started to understand this, to begin to share it with their children so they grow a greater sense of themselves. It is challenging to do this in your world, and I must say I am not optimistic about the possible outcomes in the current consciousness, and it is why my focus has been to make you not only aware of how broken the current consciousness is, but indeed that the doorway is there to move beyond it.
I would like to thank you for your great wisdom, Mr. Lincoln, coming forth and giving us all of this wondrous information. Richard, we're at the end of our show right now. And
how did that happen?
I don't know. But we wanted to say something about our telephone calls.
Yes, I said last week that we would be setting up some conference calls with Yeshua to answer participants' questions and so on. I did say I would do something about that last week, but in fact, I decided not to have that interfere with the offer that we put in place for soul healing or Akashic soul reading or Akashic reading sessions and so on with Carolyn, which that offer finishes tomorrow night at midnight. So I decided not to conflict with that, but I will roll that out in the coming week. And what we're going to do is set up some conference calls that you can participate in. And by joining the call, you will have the opportunity to ideally contribute questions prior to the session, but you can also contribute questions during the call if there is time. And then you will receive a recording of the call. And if you don't have time to participate live, or you're in Europe or somewhere where the time doesn't work terribly well and you don't want to get up in the middle of the night to join us, then you can listen to the recording. So I'm not sure how many of these calls there will be. It will be determined really by how many questions that people have of Yeshua, to understand really what his time was about, the things that he was doing and why, what's unfolding in the world and so on. And in many ways, getting into more detail of some of the things that our guests have come forth with on these radio shows. You still there, Carolyn? I'm not too sure what's happened, my friends, but I will say good night, and we'll connect with you next week. You're back, Carolyn, are you?
Yes, I got kicked out. Good night for now, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Welcome back and good night.
Good night.